Let's hear God's word together. This is Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God with the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares the rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beast their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. When we were all kids, I suppose you did the same as I did when you were in grade school, maybe on the playground or in the cafeteria. You would talk amongst those other students, and you would talk about what you had at home, what kind of TV you had. For us, I remember we got our first color TV. That was a requirement because we bought a VCR. And a VCR, you just couldn't have the experience on a black and white TV. So we would talk amongst ourselves at the cafeteria, the playground, what kind of cars we had, what kind of televisions we had, what kind of trips we took. And then it would come at Christmas, what kind of presents we got. And what were we discussing? We were discussing the care and the provision we received at home. Some kids were rich. Other kids were poor. Some fathers worked and bought things for their children. Other fathers worked but couldn't afford things for their children but played catch with them or attended their ball games and those sorts of things. And we had all these differences of fatherly care. One of the great blessings we have as Christians is we have the same Father, and he cares for us in much the same way. And so while we think tonight about Psalm 147, the second of the last five great hallelujah psalms, great hallels, we want to look at this psalm tonight as a Jerusalem psalm, a Zion psalm, a church psalm, if you will. And we want to see why we should praise God. And the big answer for why we should praise God is because he cares for Zion. He cares for his church. And so as we think of Psalm 147, as we think of praising God, we think of it being good and fitting and joyful to praise God. We're going to look at a couple sets of reasons, more specifically than he just cares for us. We're going to look at specific ways he cares for us. So Psalm 147, a hymn of praise to our Creator God who cares for his people. Remember that many of these final psalms are in the context of the return from exile. So Israel, off in Babylon, returned back to Jerusalem, back to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city and their homes, and to rebuild the wall. So think of Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and Zechariah as you think of many of these final psalms. Well, we want to think in the first six verses of God, the Creator. God the Creator. We're told in verses 1 through 6, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. A song of praise is fitting. Why? Because the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. There's the exile. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of stars. He gives to all of them their names. Our Lord is great, abundant in power, his understanding beyond measure. He lifts the humble and he casts the wicked to the ground. Many of you, I think, have lived enough life to know that there are just some circumstances in life that cannot be overcome. It may be a sickness, it may be a disease, it may be an economic circumstance. There's lots of things that you could fill in the blank with, but these are circumstances that cannot be overcome unless God intervenes. A lot of times we get on autopilot, we work, we get a paycheck, we go to the grocery store, we pay the bills, and by the time the first of the month rolls around, we do it all over again, and we kind of get on a autopilot where we feel like I'm working, I'm paying the bills, I'm doing all this. We don't sing glory to me and praise to me, but then along comes in life something that we can't fix. We can't fix it with the checkbook. We can't fix it with elbow grease and those sorts of things. It's a spiritual, a physical, a great difficulty that comes into our life. And the psalmist recognizes that when Israel returned from Egypt and they entered into a set of circumstances because of the exile, because of the return, only God could make it possible. Now, if you know anything about the exile and the return from exile, it took a decree from a Babylonian king. It took a great bit of God's blessing for Israel to return, for the tribe of Judah, for the people of Jerusalem to return. It took not only a decree of Cyrus, but it took his blessing, his permission. It took his funds. But it also took the Babylonians emptying the treasury and returning to the Israelites the possessions, the implements from Jerusalem that were stolen a century earlier when Jerusalem and the temple were plundered and destroyed. And so God in his grace, God in his mercy, yes, through a wicked king, he brought Israel back to Jerusalem. He, as our psalm says, gathered his people. He builds up the city. He heals their wounds. He binds up and he restores them. And so why do we worship God? Well, we worship him as the creator of the universe. We worship him as the one, according to verses 4 and 5, he determines the numbers of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. You know, you can, you got a girl you love or a guy you love, you can buy them a star. Right? Y'all seen that? You can get the certificate. That's really theft, right? Because they're God's stars. He already knows them by name. And so you buy one for your boyfriend, you know, Jonathan Star or Susie Star. Well, they're already God's stars. He knows them by name. And the one who knows the stars by names, the creator of the universe, he plants you in his church. He protects you in his body. He brings his people back to a place, restoring them where they might worship and serve him. And so here God is worshiped as the creator and the sustainer. He names the stars. His understanding is great. His power is magnificent. He lifts up the humble and he judges the unrighteous. He judges the wicked. And so that's the first thing the psalm points us to. We want to give praise to God. We want to say hallelujah. It's because he's the creator who looks out for his creation. And in specific here, he looks out for his church as he returns them from exile back to their homeland, to Jerusalem. Well, he's also their provider. Look at verses 7 through 11. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God with the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beast their food, to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse. His pleasure is not in the legs of the men. But the delight of the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His steadfast love. But this is an opportunity for the people of God to give thanks. Yes, in the context of those who returned from exile and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, but it's good for us as we gather every Sunday to give thanks to the Lord. He's created us, He's sustained us, He's provided for us, He's taken care of us, He's helped us overcome circumstances, He's even led us through hardships, and it has shaped and it has changed us. But God is our provider. There are many mighty things in the world, if you think about it, in your hands. Many of you have one of these little gadgets. In this little gadget is a microprocessor, a processor that it used to take rooms of equipment filled to operate something way less powerful than this. We drive down the road, we see tractor trailers delivering our goods and services, pulling our gasoline. We all have cars. Some of us maybe have come in two cars tonight. We have these things in our pocket with a magnetic strip. They control the financial world. We see heavy equipment. Maybe you watch on PBS these shows about mining equipment, and you see a shovel that can scoop, you know, this many tons and cubic yards in one swoop. And then there's a truck that can hold multiple scoops of those great excavators. We see all kinds of instances of power. We see skyscrapers and roads and bridges and all the rest. And what does our passage tell us? That's all well and good. That's all great. But we give thanks to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord who does not delight in the strength of the horse or in the legs of the man. He did make us. He did give us dominion over the earth. And it's wonderful that people can do medical things and technological things and architectural things and physical things. That's all wonderful. But God's delight is in those who fear Him, those who hope in His steadfast love. And so God, our provider, yes, He takes care of the stars. He takes care of the cows. And He does take care of us through men and women who have dominion over the earth. But all the men and women of the earth need Yahweh. They need to fear Him. They need to trust in Him and believe and walk in His steadfast love. And so in our provider, when we come to Him in thanksgiving, we thank Him for all the benefits of the world, yes. But we come in reverence, we come in fear, and we come in confidence. And in a sense, you could look at verses 10 and 11, maybe in light of the New Testament and our understanding of justification. Who does God delight in? He delights in those who fear Him. He delights in those who hope in His steadfast love, those who put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is our creator. He's our provider. But the last thing in verses 12 to 20 we want to think about is He is our God. He is the church's God. Here in this passage, He is Zion's God. Starting at verse 12, we praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, who strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down the crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He makes His wind blow and the waters flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know His rules. When Israel returned from exile, they were exposed. They went to a city with no walls. They went to a city where their homes were torn down. And they went to a city that did not even have a foundation to a temple where they could worship God. But not only that, on their long trip, the 1,000-mile or so trip back to Jerusalem from Babylon, they went in caravan, maybe camels and donkeys and horses and other beasts of burden. The women, the children, the men, but they also carried the wealth of the temple that had been plundered and was now returned to them. And so they were exposed on this long journey. But they were exposed when they got back to the city. No wall, no houses, no fighting men. But God gave them blessing. And that's what this section praises God for. God takes care of his children. Yes, God sends rain on the earth. You may live next to a non-Christian. Does the rain only fall on your house? No, it usually gets theirs. And they probably have a sprinkler system too. But God blesses his church specifically. And notice the great blessings. He gives them peace within their borders. Their children are blessed. The walls or the gates, the bars of Zion are blessed. He sends out his word and it snows. He sends out his word again and the snow melts. But even more specifically, God reveals himself by his special word, his revealed word to Zion and to his church. And that's the best we can get from God. Yes, it's wonderful that it rains. It's wonderful that we have wheat. It's wonderful that our barns are full or that we have children and grandchildren and generations. All that is wonderful. But where would we be without God and his word, his revelation, his law, his statutes, and his commandments? He has only given that to Israel. He's only given that to his church. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, the man without the Spirit does not understand the things of the Spirit. And so spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And we ought to give great thanks to God, yes, for his care in creation. Yes, for his care inside the church, the city of Zion. But we ought to give thanks to God for his revealed word to us. And that we have the Spirit to receive it and to understand it and to put it into practice in our lives. But most of all, I think we ought to be grateful to God and sing praise to him for the greatest revelation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the book of Hebrews. In former days, God spoke to us his word by his prophets. He spoke to us in many ways and in many iterations. But he has fully and finally spoken to us by his Son. And so we are a blessed people. Not only God's provision for the things of this earth, but for the things of the next life as well. Let's give thanks together. Lord, we come to you thankful that in this psalm we are called to give thanks, to praise you for your wondrous provision. You are our creator, you are our sustainer, and you are our redeemer. And we thank you for the wind and the rain and the snow. We thank you for the cattle and the wheat, for children and grandchildren. But most of all, we thank you for your word and spirit and your Son, the Lord Jesus. You have not kept yourself from us, but you have given us your all. And so we give you thanks this night, and we pray your blessing upon us in Christ's name. Amen.